Sister Diana, are you there?
I am here, John. Am I coming through okay?
Great. Yeah, yeah. You're sounding
okay.
Good. You sound a little bit away from the mic, like a little bit, like if you're using a speakerphone, you might have to get a little bit closer to the phone, but you do sound good. You're clear.
Okay, hold on. Let me try getting closer here. Is that a little bit better?
It's a little bit better, but you still sound a little distant. I just, you know, unfortunately, since Revelation says liars go to hell, I have to be perfectly frank with you. You know what I'm saying? I can't pat it. You sound a little distant.
Let me try something. All right. I've got it pretty close. Yeah, my earpiece went out on me.
Oh.
I haven't been able to get another one. Okay.
Well, I have headphones on, and you really do sound pretty distant and quiet. Darn.
Let me try this. Just a second. 1 minute. No, that's not going to work. Let me try one more thing here. I think I've got an old headset. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. This is the fun of the live show. You know, I can do my Ed Sullivan imitation here. You know, we have a really big shoe.
Is that any different?
It's a big shoe.
Is that better?
Yeah, I think that'll work. I mean, remember that you might slip back into the distance pretty easily, given, you know, any limitations that could potentially still exist. But on that note, I'm going to slide back and listen to the really big shoe. Thank you for joining us today.
Okay.
Praise God. I'm excited to hear what the Lord has shown you. This is great. Thank you.
Okay. John, I really have to thank you. Appreciate you for inviting me. You know, it's so good to be here this evening. And what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to come together like this. It still boggles my mind. I'd first like to ask the Lord to bless this time together, if I may, before we get started. Father, we come before you and praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you for bringing us together like this right now. I ask that you extend your loving arms around every listener. Father, touch every ear to hear what you're saying to your people in this hour. And I ask that you anoint my lips to speak only what's of you. And may everything not of you fall to the ground. And Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit minister this message to our hearts, our very depths of our being, Lord. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And,
amen.
Well, John, with the most recent message posted just a few days ago, I mean, it's been kind of a whirlwind. I was right in the middle of all the cold, freezing temperatures and you know, what foot deep snow and stuff like that. And so it's been a time this week, but I've continued since posting that a few days ago. I've tried to stay in prayer about more revelation from the Holy Spirit. You know, what's the Lord telling us in this hour? And I have to say it's been staggering to me personally. And I was telling somebody just a little bit ago, there have been times I've had to go lay down, you know, several times in a day, especially the first two or three days after the 10th when this was shown to me, because it's like my flesh was overwhelmed. You know, that's the only way I can explain it. Like my spirit was soaring, with what's being shown, but my flesh was like I'd been kicked in the gut, you know? And I believe it's because the realization, and I think it's hitting all of us, is this is it. Is this it? This is it. But it began sinking down really deep, you know, into my being. And excuse me. And our God's been trying to get these heads up, you know, call them heads up messages, you know, through to us in so many ways. And then if nothing immediately happens, you know, we give, you know, an amazing prophecy or what have you. And if nothing immediately happens according to our timetable or how we think things are going to unfold, you know, don't we tend to drift back to sleep? You know, I do. And I remember back in, it was like 2018, 19. It was really before that, but that was the time period when the tone began to change with God when he would speak to me and show me things. His tone changed, you know, in what he was saying, how it was being said. It was becoming very urgent beginning in 2018-19, especially 2019. And I was being awakened at night. And I know others were being awakened and others were receiving things. But, excuse me, I was being awakened at night hearing things like, get up. Things are going to go much quicker than you think. Or, you know, I've mentioned this several times. Veer off, veer off. They're heading for destruction. And I heard the bridegroom shall suddenly come to his temple. There will be no more delays. And saints, that's what I'm getting now. You know, there will be no more delays. But my point is, because circumstances didn't or haven't moved along as rapidly as we thought they would, tendency to lose our focus, and I'm raising my hand here, you know, to get distracted. And Jesus said, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to show us things to come. So we need to hold on to those things as we're, you know, like I've heard you say, even hindsight's 2020. I mean, looking back on it, and then here we are with things progressing seemingly so in such a rapid fashion. We need to hold on and really keep our focus straight ahead on what he's showing us. But the Holy Spirit's been warning the people of God for some time and in a mighty way before. That's the point. He's been warning in a mighty way before the crazy stuff of 2020 began, you know? So he's been faithful, and I want to acknowledge that. I just felt like we need to think about the faithfulness of God here because he's faithful to show us in advance things up ahead, just like Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. He would lead us into all truth and show us things to come. And John, I just want to start out tonight by going ahead and sharing what happened on February 10th and then jump right into what's been shown. And then we'll talk more about that here because it ties in to absolutely everything. Let me pull that up because I'm going to read a few sections of what was posted straight from that site, the website, because I want the listeners to know how it unfolded. Plus, some of it has to do with numbers and such, and I don't want to misspeak. So, now this post is on the website, themightyhandofgod.com, and it's titled Look Back on What You Were Shown. And I want to put in here if there's any way the listeners, you know, if you could pull up that article, maybe while I'm talking, and scroll down to a box. That there's a red box in that article, and it has it's not a red box. It's a box that has a lot of red on it. Let me clarify that. But it would be great in helping you to visualize what I'm going to be talking about here in just a little bit. But if not, that's fine because you can pull it up later. And God willing, sometime tomorrow I'll have a link of tonight's talk on my website. And then you can, if you feel led to, you can listen again and see the diagram as I'm describing it. So let me just proceed. It was very early the morning of February 10th, and it was just after some time in prayer, and I sat back and asked, Lord, what would you have me study this morning? And immediately he said, the blood moons, look back on what you were shown. And it really took me by surprise, because soon after the 2014-15, you know, the blood moons, they came and went, and they really seemed to have been pretty much forgotten. You know, I know I asked God a few times, you know, not long afterward, I had said, like, Lord, what was all that about? But, you know, the last few years, I really have to say I haven't thought about them. I don't even remember thinking about them the last couple of years. So here we are going on 6 years later, and he's telling us to look back on this event. Look back on what you were shown. So now I knew immediately what he was wanting me to review, because back in 2014, I'd posted a pretty extensive article on the Blood Moon series. And if you feel led, you know, to go to the website later on and read that post, if you read the post we're covering now, you'll see a link to that original article that was written back in 2014. And I do recommend it, because I'm not going to have enough time tonight to thoroughly lay out a lot on that. But for those of you who aren't familiar with a blood moon tetrad, let me take a couple minutes just to give a few basic details. So first of all, we can all be on the same page. And like God had said, he wants us to look back on what we've been shown. And then I'll go straight into what was shown and how it ties into what's happening today. So we've all probably seen a partial lunar eclipse, because they happen every once in a while, but total lunar eclipses are rare, with only 4 to 5 total eclipses of any given decade. But a lunar tetrad is even more rare. And a lunar tetrad is a series of 4 total lunar eclipses in a row, with intervals of approximately 6 months in between. And they're so rare. There were absolutely no tetrads in the 1600s, the 1700s, or the 1800s at all. Okay, but what made the 2014-15 tetrad of such importance was the fact that each of the eclipses occurred on a holy day of God's sacred calendar. Now, this 2014-15 tetrad occurring on the holy days was the 8th time it's occurred since the time of Jesus. Now, that's astronomically rare. So the first, I'm not going to go into the first 4 because they're, I don't have time, but the first 4 of those 8 times occurred within the first 1,000 years after Christ. And they were during times of great persecution of Jews and Christians, you know, as well as they often marked the fall of one nation and the rise of another, having to do with Jews and Christians, etc. But again, you can review more details in the original article about, like, the dates and what occurred that first 1,000 years. But the last 4 out of the 8 holy day tetrads have been within the last 500 years. And let me tell you real quickly what was going on at these times, so you can see, like, why that 2014-15 we needed to probably take a closer look at after the fact and keep our eyes on it. But there was the tetrad during 1493 and 94, okay, which marked the fall of Spain as a superpower after they kicked out the Jews. And it was Columbus's second trip when all this, the series were taking place, which ultimately led to the beginning of the rise of America down, you know, as a place of refuge, you know, for the persecuted. But after that, the next one occurred during 1949 and 50. Israel declared their independence. Well, after they did that, they ended up fighting a 15-month war in their first official permanent government in 1900 years, took office in 1949. And like I said, the Tetrad was 49-50, and that was huge. So in that situation, the Tetrad began directly after the new government began, and they actually observed their very first Passover with a full blood moon overhead. And I thought that was, wow. Next, let me pull up. The next one was in 1967-68 Tetrad series, and that occurred during Israel's Six-Day War when they recaptured Jerusalem, finally. Now, as we can see, all the Tetrads occurring on holy days since Christ happened either, they happened either before, during, or just after very historical events, and they marked various things affecting God's people, like persecution, the fall of nations, the rise of other nations, you know, events which pretty much changed the course of history. And the Tetrads were like an announcement or a marker, if you will, an ending of one thing, a beginning of something else, or commencement of another, like a beginning of colonialism, you know, like the one Tetrad, and the rise of America, you know, that was marked by a Tetrad series. And keep in mind, that took some time, too. It started with Spain kicking out the Jews, and then Columbus going on the second trip and finding the Americas, and eventually we know the rest of the story. But that unfolded. So, and God's word is very plain in how he uses the lights in the heavens, like the sun, moon, stars, and the festivals of the Lord, or holy days, as I usually call them, and I hear them called. But let's look at two or three verses just to show what the word says about the lights in the heavens and also the festivals. In Leviticus 23, in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies." Now, the word translated appointed festivals comes from the Hebrew word moed, which, according to Strong's, is defined as a fixed time or an appointed time. Okay. Now, Genesis 1:14 says, "Then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons." And seasons is that word moed again, which is a fixed or an appointed time. So not only did God set the holy days, but also the lights in the heavens as moeds, as signs and seasons, you know, pointing at a fixed or appointed time. So now Psalms 104 verse 19 says he appointed the moon for seasons. And in Colossians 2 verse 16 and 17, Paul calls the festivals or the holy days a shadow of things to come. So they're pointing towards future events. And one more note, Israel believed a solar eclipse signaled judgment for the nations. And a blood moon on a holy day signaled judgment for God's people. And they've had a lot of time. They had a lot of time to observe this. So this, just keep that in mind. The a total solar eclipse signaled judgment for the nations, and a blood moon on a holy day meant judgment for God's people. So now we come to the 2014-15 tetrad, the eighth since Jesus, and this is the one the Lord told me to look back on. So after rereading the article I just gave you some excerpts from, I took a close look at the diagram that I'd originally made for that post, and there were several things that jumped out at me. I noticed the first and last blood moon in the series were like bookends, showcasing the beginning and the end of a Shemitah year. Okay, and Shemitah means to release, to let go. And it's the seventh year of a seven-year cycle, the year before a brand new season or cycle begins. Okay, there are other things about, you know, the special year, but a major aspect, saints, of the Shemitah is judgment. Okay, what an individual or nation sows the previous 6 years is multiplied back to them, you know, whether in blessing, you know, or cursing. And saints, the next Shemitah year begins September 7th of this year. So now remember, blood moons on the holy days depict judgment of God's people, and a total solar eclipse depicts judgment of the nations. And we know, according to 1 Peter 4:17, judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, if you're looking at the diagram, or when you look later, you'll notice the order of placement for these events. Well, inside the actual Shemitah, the judgment section, you know, I said there's two bookends, and those are blood moons. But inside where the Shemitah begins and ends, inside that section, excuse me, the first event is a blood moon. The first event is a blood moon, pointing towards judgment beginning at the house of God. To the right of it, next in line, is a total solar eclipse, judgment of the nations. And I'm going to pick this back up in a minute. And I'll go into some of the numbers that I referred to a little bit ago that I didn't want to misspeak. And we know numbers are very, very meaningful in the Word of God. And the, I'm going to get a drink of water here just a second. Okay, the 2014-15 event was the eighth holy day tetrad since Jesus. And the number eight means new beginnings, commencement, and resurrection from the dead. Now, in Hebrew, a combination of the numbers 8 and 50 mean first fruits from the dead. You know, if you combine that, first fruits from the dead. Also, several correlations exist between the numbers 7, 8, and 50. Now, God instructed Israel to count 7 weeks, 49 days, from the beginning of the spring harvest. And then that following 50th day, or eighth day of that seventh week, was the day of Pentecost. And we know that as the Feast of Weeks or First Fruits. Now, the pattern was the same in figuring the year of Jubilee. But instead of weeks, it's calculated in years. After seven Shemitah years, you know, 49 years, the next year is the 50th year, or, again, eighth year of that seven-year cycle, and it's called the Year of Jubilee. Now, the Year of Jubilee is similar to the Shemitah, except it's expanded. It's vastly expanded, and all debts were forgiven, land returned to the original owners, slaves set free. It was a personal cultural and economic reset. Okay, that was what the Jubilee was, a reset. And as I'm saying this right now, I'm thinking about all the talk of a reset that we're hearing being thrown around by the kingdom of darkness out there. But the Jubilee is God's reset. I mean, what a contrast, right, between the Jubilee meant to be a blessing to God's people and the counterfeit reset the devil's attempting to pull off. So that's interesting, but let me just go ahead here. But after the dispersion, the Jews discontinued observing the Jubilee, and they lost track of which Shemitah it would normally follow. But one thing's certain, God's not lost track. We don't know when the next Jubilee will take place, but I do have to tell you, the Jubilee was, it was dropped heavily into my spirit as I looked back at that Tetrad series. Matter of fact, as I looked at the diagram that I had put in that original post, it was like the Holy Spirit posed to me the question, when's the Jubilee? Because I look, you know, there's, okay, here it is. Okay, and I know, pretty familiar with, you know, the holy days and stuff, and it's like, wait a minute, okay, oh, where's the Jubilee? But now, this is Diana talking for a second. I felt God was showing me that the Jubilee would follow this Shemitah year, you know, that would be ending September of 2022, and only because it was a question. I felt it was a question being asked of me, when's the Jubilee? In addition to the fact that the numbers 8 and 50 mean resurrected first fruits, you know, pointing to that barley harvest, the remnant bride of Christ. Then follows one of the, you know, biggest harvests of the kingdom of God to ever hit the planet, right, after that. And this celebration of Jubilee would be in the heavenlies, saints. So if it followed that. So does it follow the completion of the series of seven we're in now? Only God knows, you know. Now, another possibility would be Jubilees, the Jubilee celebrated after the next series of seven, you know, to begin the millennial reign of Christ. That's what I thought for years. But now this is kind of telling you where I think we are in the timing of things, you know. We're right on the cusp, I do believe. But what we do know is the sun and moon are used by God as signs and markers of the progression of things along the way, you know, marking times and seasons, like it says in Genesis 1:14. And it functions like a billboard in the sky saying, heads up, you know, pay attention to what's going on. You know, something big is happening, or, you know, something is happening now, or heads up, it's just ahead, you know. And we have history of those holy day tetrads to compare with those historical events that took place back to see, you know, it doesn't have to be on those days. It doesn't have to span, you know, what do most of them span? About 15 months, because they're six months apiece, hence four. So, I mean, it doesn't have to span a certain, they're markers, they're billboards, they're banners, like heads up. So, so let me just scroll and see what I want to. And, you know, yeah, I was just saying, though, that the events normally didn't take place on the actual holy day pictured. Sometimes they did, you know, but usually the tetrad happens just before, along with, or just after, you know, as a marker of sorts. But our God gave us a huge heads up back in 2014-15, okay? He put a big billboard up, things that were just ahead of us. And looking back, though, it doesn't readily appear that anything at all took place. you know. But it was the eighth tetrad since Christ. Now think of this. Eight means a new beginning or commencement. Resurrection of the dead. You know, a commencement of something. Something was begun, saints. And I believe it was a countdown to the events pictured in the tetrad. This was a call to awaken from the dead. Whoa. Because that's one of the meanings of eight, resurrection from the dead. So this was a call to awaken from the dead, a call to draw near unto God, to prepare for what's now beginning to unfold. Our God showcased a Shemitah, a time of judgment coming to the people of God and the nations. And I mentioned at the start a little bit ago how everything's tied together. When I was on the program, let's see, this was, I believe, last November, I shared a dream of being a detective sifting through papers. And I didn't know, you know, what I was looking at or what I was looking for. But as I awoke, the Holy Spirit said, watch and observe, gather the evidence. And a few days passed, and it was made clear all the evidence revealed a plan by the enemy to subdue the masses and take control of our lives. Okay, so a veil was being lifted to expose unimaginable wickedness encircling the planet to those with eyes to see. And John, I think that's interesting. You mentioned that a while ago, that the eyes are continuing to open as they see this horrible, horrible wickedness. And it's like that, it just, what's coming? So this was a time period. This was a commencement of a new, you know, a space of time that means a lot of things. Awaken from the dead. Wake up. You know, here's what's getting ready to happen here. Prepare your hearts. A time of preparation. And then a couple mornings later, I kind of got off on that, but a couple mornings later, God asked, are you ready to submit the petition? Okay. And it was shown God's waiting on his saints to petition him, the courts of heaven, to render his righteous judgments. Judgments. You know, it was surrounding, showcasing the Shemitah, which is, so here it is, God saying, are you ready to, you know, to submit your petition for me to render my righteous judgments? So the Lord showed at that time it hadn't happened yet. You know, because most of his people were still trying to hold on to this world, you know, but that this will soon change. He said that. He said that his saints will cry out to me. They will cry out. He said, we will cry out for him to bring his righteous judgments, the coming judgments that eighth tetrad was pointing toward. And back in back in December, light was shed on how this will come about. And I believe that that message that was given in December was given to help prepare our hearts for what's ahead, as well as to give strength and courage to his people. Because as we began to see the magnitude, as our eyes were opening of what looks to be ahead, I can speak for myself and many people that I speak to, fear and trembling entered the camp of God. And brethren, much of the fear is because many know they're not ready, and they're asking, and I heard this question too many times as people cry when we're talking, how am I to handle what's coming? How do we prepare? Well, brethren, beginning in the middle of December, the Holy Spirit's repeatedly told me, she will be made ready. He wants to encourage all. The Lord's referring to his remnant church, the spiritual temple of God on the earth. he will finish his work in her. A couple of years ago, I was awakened, and I think this was in the latter part, actually, of 2018. The bridegroom shall suddenly come to his temple. There will be no more delays. My temple is made without human hands. I'm going to fill my temple with my glory. The Lord's telling us his temple will be made ready, and he's going to come suddenly and fill it with his glory. And saints, a final cleansing, you know, that a final purification must now take place to prepare the temple to receive his glory. And I was shown that soon coming events and situations are going to act as catalysts to ignite the fire needed to burn up any remaining impurities and dross within his temple, within you, me. And the Lord spoken to me for some time that the day would come when certain leaders within the church, little C church, which are nothing more than modern day Pharisees, will mislead their congregations and twist the meaning of Romans 13, and that day is upon us. And I'm showing that this is going to be one of the fires that's going to help if the pressure come upon that remnant. But a dividing line has been drawn by God, and the division's begun. And as I said in that post, it appears the major question is going to be, are Christians to obey the government of this world or God? And Paul made it clear in Romans 13 that we're to be subject to governing authorities. There is no other authority except from God. And in verse 3, it states, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. But saints, what happens when such governing authorities flip this upside down and begin terrorizing the good, calling it evil and calling evil good? Now, this has happened throughout history, and it's happening again worldwide. And God's word gives the examples of Daniel and his three friends when they refused to obey the mandates of the king, you know, to bow to his image and then to pray to this image. In Acts 5:27-29, Peter sums it all up by saying, we're to obey God rather than man. So we see the division in the church. You can see it coming, you know, fast and hard. And with these modern day Pharisees, they're again going to be moved with fear of having their empires taken, you know, if they don't toe the line. And rest assured, they'll be preaching obedience and submission to the kingdom of darkness. But as the remnant rise up and walk in the ways of Jesus, will obey God rather than man. And speaking, you know, as we hear him speak and doing as we see him do, because as he is, so are we in the world, right? It says that in 1 John 4:17. But saints, as the fire of persecution comes against the saints worldwide, God's people will soon cry out to him as never before. And we're going to echo the prayer of the first century disciples, you know, as that fire raged against them, and that prayer in Acts 4:29, now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And it says that after they prayed this prayer, the building was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out and spoke the word with boldness. You know, and as they went forth preaching the word, the Lord confirmed the word with signs and wonders following, 1920. And this is showing two main things. You know, why she, you know, the remnant, will cry out for his righteous judgment to come, because of the intense persecution coming upon the church worldwide. So we're going to be crying out when this pressure begins clamping down. We will cry out to the Lord our God. And it shows the boldness of the disciples to face whatever consequences might come and continue following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And this boldness came after Pentecost. After Pentecost is when those that kind of just didn't even want to let it be known that they knew Jesus to boldly proclaiming Christ Jesus. And so looking at the diagram of the blood moon tetrad, you'll notice the very first blood moon that, and when you get the chance, please do, that very first blood moon, the ones that showcase, do the showcasing, it highlights the Passover that occurred on the Passover before the Shemitah judgment period begins. Interesting. So that is something that's being just put up on the billboard before us, the Passover, that blood moon, that first, very first one on the Passover. So let me just say this before I continue on. I'm seeing this as a heads up to the church to observe the Passover as led by the Spirit of God, each of us, pays special attention to this season. So next month, I'll just say what I'm going to do. I'm going to be taking communion, anointing myself and my dwelling with oil, claiming the blood of the Lamb that night of the Passover. But what I was going to say before I insert that, what comes shortly after Passover, and of course we know that Days of Unleavened Bread, is Pentecost. Now this is a count 50 thing. 50. Remember I said the 8 and the 50? Here we go. This is a count 50. If this is the season the 8th tetrad was pointing us toward, the number 8 and 50 are screaming first fruits from the dead. But saints, let me say this first, because many ask this question, you know, knowing they absolutely have to have a touch from God. We do. As some have expressed, you know, another Pentecost is coming to imbue the people, you know, of God with power from on high. His remnant will walk for however long, you know, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, as the disciples of Jesus walked after being filled at Pentecost. And we have many scriptures talking about this time, you know, like Hosea 6, 1 to 3, or Joel 2, 23, you know, the former and latter rains. We've got lots of scriptures about this. But let me give you an example of the way God's shown this to me. I was originally given an amazing open vision. I titled on the website, "The Light Will Rise Above the Darkness." Now, this was posted back in 2014. I'm just realizing that was the year that that was the year of the Blood Moon series began. I don't know what month it was that I posted this, but anyway, I believe it was 2014, but the Lord gave this vision to me several more times over the course of the next few years after that, and each time added a segment to the tail end of it. Now, I eventually gave the full vision, and I can't remember the title of it on the Real Network of God. Anyway, that but I'm gonna give it here and just kind of summarize it. I'll try to interpret it as I go though. I saw the Earth from the distance of an orbiting satellite and watched as dark clouds began to gather, and the dark clouds increased and circled the Earth, started going and encircling the earth. And soon the darkness was thick. It got really thick, and it covered the earth like a blanket. And all I could see was the darkness at first. And the clouds then, I saw them begin to descend towards the earth. And saints, you know, we can feel this happening now, you know, can't we? I mean, you feel that darkness coming down. And soon I began to see lights coming on here and there beneath that darkness, like little flashlights. I've got little flashlights I saw coming on. And this is happening now as we're, you know, the way, awakening, you know. But then I could see these little lights coming on, kind of flashing here and there in around the globe. You know, it wasn't just in one regional area. It was, the little lights were starting to come on around the globe. And then suddenly, they became so bright, it appeared, it's like they blended or meshed together as one bright light shining through the darkness. I see this, I'm talking here, I see this as our Pentecost, okay, filled with the power from on high. Now, what happens next? Then the light began to rise up. It started shooting. I started seeing like arrows shooting through the darkness. And then that light rose up. All of a sudden, it was on top, above the darkness. And I saw saints. It rose up higher. I saw them take their seat in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe that is when she is redeemed from the earth, transformed, if you will, that remnant, that barley harvest, whatever you want to call it. I believe that is when she's redeemed from the earth and transformed, because I then saw like a huge fishing net. It fell from the heavens. It just went straight down, and I knew that we were that net. Okay, we were that net, and we fell straight down to the earth, onto the earth, and went down, that net went down deep into the waters of the sea. And then it lifted back up, and it was overrun with fish. Huge harvest, okay? Now, that final vision that I just explained to you, that I shared after all the sequences were given, it was given. That final vision was given to me in one, like a one fluid motion, like a movie clip from beginning to end. But I knew, because the Lord had given it to me in several sequences, you know, I knew that there were several to it. I knew, but there was no way to know the earth time. There's no way to know the earth time involved with each. You know, how long does each last, you know, from this to that to that? You know, I don't know. But that's what I'd like to leave you with. This is what I'd like to leave you with. The Lord wants to encourage people in this hour, okay? He's given us, you know, a heads up on what's ahead. You know, we're being told to prepare our hearts for great deception, for division coming, persecution, and judgment falling upon the house of God, okay? But it's the intense worldwide persecution of saints that will act as that final purification of the first fruits from the dead, okay? That the remnant bride of Jesus will be made ready and sent forth into the harvest field as judgments fall upon the nations. Okay, saints, I pray that we continue fervently seeking the Lord for revelation, okay, and eyes to see what he's pointing toward. You know, what's he pointing our eyes toward? Because I know there's going to be further revelation given here as the time goes on. And although we don't know the hour or the day, the exact, you know, how long each sequence or anything like that, Jesus told us in several ways that if we're watching, We should know the season we're in. Okay? And brethren, let's remember, it won't be by our own power or might, but only by his spirit, as Zechariah 4:6 says. You know? And as we press in and lean completely upon the Lord, you know, keeping our eyes focused only on him, we'll be made ready. You know, we're going to be made ready and used in the greatest harvest of souls to hit the planet. You know, saints, it is now at the door. It's at the door. John, I just feel this is a good place to stop, because for me to go further, it would be, you know, going on down across that, because I believe the Lord's going to continue pulling back the veil, if you will, and giving further revelation of what that time was picturing. So I'll give the mic back to you now.
Well, on that note, praise God, I will hand the mic back to you to close with a prayer and also to share with people where they can go to get more information, read a little bit more detailed in your articles, your website, and everything like that. So let me go ahead and just toss it back to you and then close with a prayer for us tonight. Powerful message, very relevant and timely. Thank you.
Okay. The website that you can go to is themightyhandofgod.com. Now, there's another website, and it's B, just the letter B, thenetwork.com, bthenetwork.com. But they both go to they're linked together. But if you go to the website right now or tomorrow, before I get this up, you will see this post to look back on what you were shown. And then it'll have also in that link some of the original article with a lot more detail. So, but let me go ahead and close with prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this time together. And I ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to continue ministering this message to every one of us, providing more and more revelation, Lord, and understanding. We love you so much, Father God. And may our lives give you praise, glory, and honor in these times ahead. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God. Yes, thank you, Diana. Such a powerful message, very timely, full of information that is pointing to, you know, some pretty exciting things right around the corner. And we just got to hang in there. We just got to hang in there. And, you know, I got an email from somebody. Absolutely nailed it. I've mentioned this before myself, and really read Matthew 5, become Matthew 5, live Matthew 5, make it who you are, and seek the Lord and make prayer your ministry now. And then I believe with all of my heart, if you take those steps, you're going to be right where you need to be when, you know, stuff gets real ugly and God starts pouring out his light and power upon us. You just don't want to be caught off guard. And the best way to not be caught off guard is to be immersed.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I even have, just for grins and giggles, for, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek smile on people's face, I even have a little, one of those like Amazon Alexa things. And I have it programmed at 7 a.m. every morning. It says, it comes up and it goes, enjoy your time in the secret place of the Most High. And then it pauses and goes, enjoy your time in the secret place of the Most High. And I'm like, right on. So, you know, I love it too, because, you know, a lot of times I'm still getting ready and I hear that and I'm like, it kind of gets me, you know, kind of like sparked up for my prayer time. So, you know, folks, now's the time to take your stuff seriously, because when stuff starts getting real ugly real fast, you don't want to be, you know, having to go buy more oil, if you know what I mean. Praise Jesus. Thank you so much, Sister
Diana.
That is it. The conversion process. Yeah, the conversion process. to get your heart where it needs to be, to get that relationship as strong as it needs to be, to have that trust, that fear of God, and that love of our Father, and that obsession of all things of the kingdom become where it needs to be naturally in your walk, does not happen in 2 or 3 days. This is a refining period. This is the time to become what we need to become now, so we don't miss when that incredible moment, maybe series of days or whatever, falls upon us, that next Pentecost of a type. Praise God. So thank you so much, Diana, for sharing that with us. Time now is 10:15 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of Babylon the Great. It is February the 21st. We will see you Wednesday night at 8 p.m., Lord willing. God bless you all. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul, remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.